It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Than they were a year ago.
This is the Baseball Hour with Tony Maz.
Brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork, Bigelow Tea, Gravely Zero Turn Lawnmowers, The 99 Restaurants, Sing Sang Cocktail in a Can, Win Waste Innovations, and Woodbridge Wines.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
This is going to be one of the most fascinating winters in the history of this organization.
Yeah, absent leadership changes, I do think that this has the potential to be about as chaotic an offseason as we've seen, because it's not just a matter of, you know, do you add a pitcher and then do you, you know, where do you go in shortstop? There's plenty of potential trade avenues that the team could explore. You could be looking at the add and subtract routes. There's going to be a lot of financial flexibility, so the Red Sox should be involved at the top of the market on a number of guys, at least exploring their availability and interest in coming to Boston. I have a very unsettled feeling about this roster right now.
All right, welcome into the Baseball Hour, 617-779-0985. We'll open up the phone lines right away. That is Alex Speer of the Boston Globe, whom you just heard, who was in the Nesson booth last night with Dave O'Brien, Dennis Eckersley, talking about the offseason that is coming up. And you heard Dave O'Brien say there, one of the more fascinating offseasons in Red Sox history. I'll tell you what, Murray, a lot of times over the years, I've heard people say this all the time, oh, big offseason coming up, big offseason. And we were talking about this recently. I think Chris Gasper said there's always a recency bias, or someone made that reference that whenever you go into the offseason, there's always a recency bias. The thing that's taking place now is the most important thing ever. In this case, I think it's true. I do. I really do think it's true. And I'll tell you, I can't remember. And I thought Alex Speer put that well. Jimmy, in fact, can we play the beginning of that again? Absent a management change, is that how we put it? Absent a
leadership change.
A leadership change. Okay, just at the very beginning, let's go ahead and play it again, Jimmy.
This has the potential to be about as chaotic an offseason as we've seen, because it's not just a matter of, you know, do you add a pitcher and then do you, you know, where do you go in shortstop? There's plenty of potential trade avenues that the team could explore. You could be looking at the add and subtract routes. There's going to be a lot of financial flexibility, so the Red Sox should be involved at the top of the market on a number of guys, at least exploring their availability and interest in coming to Boston. I have a very unsettled feeling about this roster right now.
It's a good way to put it. Very unsettled feeling about this roster right now. And this goes back to something that Sean McAdam of the Boston Sports Journal wrote some time ago, and he's right. Tell me how many positions you can look at on the field with this Red Sox team right now and say the same guy is going to be playing the same position next year. Now, McAdam asked this question way back when. So Tristan Casas at the time wasn't at first base. I think it was Bobby Dalbec. So I would look at Casas now and I would say he's going to be playing first base. I think Tristan Casas is your first baseman. And I think, given that there's been a signing since that time, Enrique Hernandez is your center fielder. Everything else, I don't know. I mean, do you guys disagree with me? How many spots do you look at on the diamond and you say that guy is guaranteed of being your starter at that position next year?
Trevor Story, second base.
Okay, so, but why did you stop?
Oh, because I thought Murray was going to say something.
Oh, okay.
No.
What if Bogarts goes?
Trevor Story second base. He can't make the throw from shortstop.
Okay, I'm not. I mean, I agree with you, but I'm not sure they're thinking that way, Jimmy. Go ahead.
No, I can't.
Alex Verdugo, left field.
Yeah, okay. He's about the only one I think you could maybe come up with that is a lock for next year.
Okay, you guys know that he's been playing right for the last 6 weeks, right?
No, I missed that.
How about the outfield then?
Okay, so again, I didn't mean to throw it in your face like that. The point being is, Verdugo has moved to right field because they need him to play right. They don't have any other options. And frankly, the cast of right fielders available on the market might not be great. They might need to keep Verdugo there and get a left fielder. I don't know. Let's see. But it's a fair question. So when Spear talks about the offseason, I'm not sure people really, as much as we say it, I'm not sure people really understand how big an offseason this is for the Red Sox. I would go so far as to call it probably the most important offseason I've seen them have in 25, 30 years. And I believe that. Okay, I really do believe that. Because I think the popularity of the team has dipped. I think the popularity of the sport has dipped. For the Red Sox place in this town, I'm not sure they've ever faced a more critical offseason than they have right now. And I can tell you that I think it's absolutely true for Alex Cora and for Chaim Bloom, because one or both will be fired next year if the Red Sox aren't in the playoffs or at least not close to it. We'll see how the particulars go, but generally, I will say in the playoffs, okay, loosely. It's going to have to be that kind of year. And so, but I guess my question to fans is, if they were to have a bad offseason, are you done with it? Because I think it's reached that stage, Murray. I don't know whether you and Jimmy agree, but I guess it feels like a potentially a bad season, a bad offseason would be potentially fatal for the franchise.
I agree.
And when I say fatal, I don't mean that they will cease to exist, okay? But I mean that like...
No, the interest would be like real niche.
Microscopic.
Yeah. They'll lose the plus 55 demographic.
They will be fourth in town without an argument. They will be fourth in town without an argument. The Bruins will be more important. The Celtics will be more important, and the Patriots will be more important. They will the relevancy of the Red Sox will plummet through the freaking floor if they have a bad offseason. So when people say to me, why do you think the Red Sox are going to spend this offseason? Why do you think it's going to change? That's why. That's why. Because the business of the Red Sox, the business of the ball club, not the baseball, which is what we care about. I care about the baseball. I can give a rat's ass how much money they make over there. Unless my nesting salary goes up. Or down. But you get the idea.
You've been the best guy in the booth, not named Eckersley.
Okay, so let's, you know, we'll keep that discussion for another time. But I will say that I none of us care about the business. None of us care about how much money the Red Sox make. Their business will plummet if they don't have a good team next year. And if they don't have an interesting team next year, it will plummet. So I want to start there, and I want to get to other things that Alex Spear said in his conversation. He touched on a lot of things, Xander Bogaerts, long-term ramifications of Rafael Devers and the roster, the outlook for the franchise. We'll touch on all of it here tonight. We'll play the cuts for you throughout the course of the show because there was a lot of things that he – or there were a lot of things that he hit on during the course of his appearance last night, and it was a brief appearance. We'll kick it off tonight with Ray, who's in Revere, regular caller. Ray, what do you got?
Yeah, I agree with your sentiment, Tony. I think it's an important offseason, but I think the reason they've had five last-place finishes in 11 years is they don't have the pitching pipeline from the minor leagues, and they have these older pitching staffs that break down, and it's almost a random thing. They don't break down, they have a good season, they break down, they're terrible.
Okay, so Ray, I'm going to stop you for a second because I want to ask you this question. And I know you always emphasize this point, I don't disagree with you, that they don't have a pipeline of pitching. Okay, but it's not like they can wait now, so how do they fix it? How do they solve the problem?
I'm advocating that they own it and actually go down and develop this minor league system. I would accept that from this owner if he would just come out publicly and say it.
Okay, so the fact that he says it or doesn't say it really shouldn't matter. The bottom line is the average, and Ray, again, you're a hardcore. The average fan just wants a good product and an entertaining team. That's all the average fan wants. So those of you who call the show, and believe me when I tell you, I am grateful for you, especially this year. So whether it's Ray and Revere, Anthony on the Cape, Martin in Texas, Tony in Stoneham, Tom in Quincy, all of you call regularly, believe me, this year more than any other, I am grateful for you. But the Red Sox already have you. So whether the fact that you haven't jumped ship already says that you're hardcore. Because the casual fan quit a long time ago. The TV ratings now are in the twos. Okay? So, Ray, I understand your point. But to get the business of the Red Sox going again, they need to go out and make moves. So now to your point, what I would have answered in your case is Bayo's got to be in the rotation and Whitlock's got to be in the rotation. They need to develop some young starters. Bayo's in. I can't imagine he won't be. We'll see what they do with Whitlock, but my gut tells me they're going to try to make Whitlock a starter next year. We'll see what happens after that. But the rest of it, you got to go spend some dough. You don't have a choice. Anthony's on the Cape. Go ahead, Anthony.
Tony, yeah, I would absolutely add Tanner Houck to that. I mean, he's been one of the best starters the Red Sox have ever had his first 20 starts of his career. It's a 3.22 ERA. The guy's a stud. I don't like this nonsense about he doesn't have three pitches. Yes, he does. He has a sinker, a splitter, and his best pitch is a slider. All I'm saying is start the year with Houck, Whitlock, all these guys as starters. You have to. But you know what? Let me just say what I wanted to call about, Tony.
Sure, yeah, go ahead.
You know what pisses me off more than anything with this team? The opportunity they're squandering, okay? The Bruins are going down. Bergeron's going to retire. The Patriots are toast. You look what just happened with the Celtics. You've got an opportunity to be number one in Boston again if you got your head out of your ass, okay? Why don't they go out this offseason, either choose one direction or another? We're either going to move on from Bogarts and rebuild, or we're going to sign people like Judge, Verlander. Just go over the luxury tax and get the best team possible. Choose your direction, please.
Okay.
No more middling.
Yeah, so I agree. I don't like the middling either, Anthony. Now, again, when you're rolling right, you're middling it by definition. In other words, your farm system's pumping out players, and then you can control your roster and the inventory and the cost of your roster, all of that. They're not there yet. So I've heard a lot of people saying, even Alex Spear said it there, you know, potentially trades. They should be in the trade market. They should be on the free agent market, all of which is true. The Red Sox have the artillery to do whatever they want. Now, that said, I don't want them to trade Marcelo Mayer. I don't want them to trade Tristan Casas. I don't want them to trade Brian Bayo. Like those young players, you do need some young cornerstones. But can you identify the other guys in your organization that you can trade? And can you go get something for those guys? Sign some free agents and have the best of all worlds? And that, in my mind, is not middling it, quote unquote. That is self-evaluating. Understand who has an impact on your franchise and who does not. But the importance of this offseason for the Red Sox, do not understate it. Do not underestimate it. It is freaking huge. It's colossal. If they fail this offseason and they are in the same spot a year from now, they are going to have to start all over again. New GM, new manager maybe. And I know Jimmy believes Cora could move up to the front office. Hell, anything's possible. Okay, but that will be a new GM in my mind. A lot of work to do. There should be plenty of news with this baseball team from here on out. We'll continue with your calls more from Alex Spear when we come back on the baseball.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Sports Hub. This is the Baseball Hour with Tony Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Baseball's behavior across the board for hitters, like the landscape changed so drastically this year with the change to the ball, taking away for right-handed hitters power to right center. You cannot hit opposite field home runs unless you're Aaron Judge anymore. And so that changes the profile of the type of hitters that you want, right? Like, I don't know what J.D. Martinez is going to be moving forward, because that is central to his game, the ability to drive the ball to right center. If the ball changes, J.D. keeps driving the ball out there, then he's back to being an all-star. But if the ball isn't changing, and I would hope that there's direction from the commissioner's office at this point about what ball they'll be playing with next year, then you need to find guys who can pull the ball, right-handed hitters who can pull the ball, left-handed hitters who can pull the ball. You have far less ability to tap into opposite field power. So it's incredibly complicated to build a major league roster right now successfully.
I thought this was a great point by Alex Spear of the Globe. The Red Sox have a big task in front of them. And I don't know that there's ever been a harder time to build a team. Because for the first time that I can remember ever, baseball's changing the rules on the field. So the shift is gone. You've had a change in the ball in the last year. So again, now the question is, well, what kind of ball are we going to play with next year? Fair question. And you heard Alex Spear say there, I would hope baseball has clued teams in as to, you know, which ball they're going to be playing with. My guess is that it'll be a continuation of this year. But again, think of that. If you go back to a ball that carries, well, J.D. Martinez might have more value than you would have otherwise guessed. So a guy like him might be more appealing. But if you're going to a game that is more athletic and is speed and defense oriented with the elimination of the shifts, tougher to hit home runs to the opposite field, well, then you're spending on a completely different kind of player. So again, we'll see which direction the Red Sox think this is all going in. But I thought it was a fabulous point. Okay, the rules are changing. The ball has changed. And those of you who want to, and I bring this up because for years I pounded the idea that Mookie Betts can't hit the ball out to the opposite field. Not with consistency. Very few guys can. J.D. Martinez can't do it anymore. Aaron Judge can. So a guy like Judge now has more value than he would have otherwise had, and he would have had a lot anyway, because there just aren't many guys that can do what he does anymore. Mookie Betts, by the way, still hits the large majority of his home runs to the left side of second base. Okay, it doesn't mean zero to right field. It just means the large majority. I think people pitch Mookie stupid. I'm eager to see how they pitch him in the playoffs. I would try to bury Mookie Betts with sliders away and never throw him a fastball in the inner half of the plate. And if I walk him, so be it. Anyway, back to your calls. Martin's in Texas. Martin, what do you got?
Hey, Tony. I watched the game last night because I don't really miss any games. But Alex Spear said something about it being very likely that Bogaerts comes back. So I think if you know, after they re-sign him or the key guys, they got to address pitching before anything else. And so, whether it be like signing Edwin Diaz or a closer and having Whitlock in the starting rotation or getting starting pitching and keeping Whitlock in the bullpen, I think that's just the biggest priority after re-signing our guys that they got to go in.
Okay, so listen, Martin, pitching's obviously number one. There isn't anybody that's going to disagree with you on that. And we'll play for you later in the show exactly what Alex Spear said as it pertains to Bogaerts. Okay? I'll play for you exactly what he said. And I'll tell you what, over the next couple of nights here, we've had a bunch of contributors to the show this year. Jen McCaffrey, The Athletic, Matt McCarthy here of 98.5 The Sports Hub, Jared Carabas. I'm going to ask everybody to give us a prediction on Bogaerts. I want a prediction from everybody on Bogaerts among the regulars. And we'll try to get a sense of what the general sentiment is out there on Xander Bogaerts. I'll try to give you one, too, before we go off the air on Thursday. because obviously Thursday is our last show. I'm not sure anybody really knows. Tom and Quincy. Tom, go.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, Tony, first things first. As depressing and sad as this Red Sox season has been, it's one of the worst things I've ever had the displeasure of watching in the past 10 or so years from them. I just want to say you did a phenomenal job in the booth, so that was pretty cool to follow.
Appreciate it.
There's a lot of things, obviously, that the Sox got to figure out. It's a pretty tall order when you went through at the beginning, like what guys are going to be in the lineup, you know, in the diamond at the same spot. And when you put it in that perspective, this makes me hate Bloom more, because this goes into going into this season how the roster was constructed. And, you know, as poorly as they've played and underachieved as they've been, you look back and see what he went into the season with. Now you start to see, like, well, how the hell did he really think they were going to ride this out into a playoff contended team when, in the end, they lack at every single spot on the roster?
Tom.
That needs to be addressed.
Tom, it's a good point, and thank you for calling. That, how many guys did they add to the team this year that you would keep? When you really look at that. Story, you're keeping. Okay, Story, I don't know if he'll be at the same spot. Some of that might depend on what happens with Bogarts. But Story, you're keeping. They've decided to keep Enrique Hernandez, but I wouldn't say that was necessarily something that was a no-brainer. I mean, I think they did that one because they didn't have another option. They're going to, you know, and again, they didn't add Enrique Hernandez, so I should sort of throw that one out. Tommy Pham? No idea. First base, Eric Hosmer? No idea. They don't have a catcher. Right now, they need a catcher. They need let's just say a catcher, a DH, an outfielder, a starter or two, and a reliever or two, or even three. I mean, I just rattled off, what, 7, 8 guys? When you look at 4 potentially on the pitching staff alone, who did they add to the pitching staff this year that you say, oh, my God, thank God that guy's coming back? Now, you would say Waka. I'm not sure Michael Waka's back, because I think he may price himself out. And let's face it, he doesn't have the greatest history of durability. Okay, so, you know, I like Waka, but if you come back with Waka and Chris Sale and a couple of young guys in the rotation, that's not good enough. Joe's in Rentham. Joe, go.
Matt, the problem with baseball, there's no collegiate feeder system. There's no people looking to see who's the next up-and-coming player anymore. There's just nothing there. I can't even follow. I couldn't even name who's the next star in baseball. It's all old players. They're going to move to a regulation model, cut the teams who aren't doing anything, and build excitement with a feeder system.
Yeah, Joe, I'm going to let you go. Okay, when you say a feeder system, there is a feeder system. It's called the draft. So, again, in baseball, though, the development takes longer than it does in some of the other sports. Okay, who are the next great stars coming up in hockey? I don't know, maybe you're a hardcore hockey fan. Similar type of model. So football, you're probably a football fan that watches college football, so you know who the next guys are. And college basketball, similar. But the other two sports, it's not like you watch them and know you're watching the number one pick in the draft. Okay, so it's different. It's a niche sport now. It always has been when it comes to the draft. Ben's in Groveland. Ben, go ahead.
Hey, Tony, I got a comment and a question for you. My comment is, the way you describe the importance of this offseason is not hyperbole. My interest over the team has faded throughout the years, but I literally turned down free tickets multiple times this year. And if you ask 10-year-old, 12-year-old me, that's insane. And I really think this big offseason, if they have a big offseason, they can hook guys like me who are on that bubble between completely not following the Red Sox and not listening to you, to gone. But my question is for you, when it comes to a failure, I guess, what's your best way to describe that? Because you already brought up having the same roster, but you saying not adding a certain pitcher, not adding, what do you determine would be a failure? Thanks, well, Tony.
Okay, so look, at this stage, I would tell you right now, you got to be in the playoffs next year. You can't finish last in the division. Now, if you win 95 games and somehow miss the playoffs, am I going to like kick your head in? No, but I don't think you're missing the playoffs if you win 95 games. You follow me there. So I expect them to be in the playoffs. I don't think that's asking too much. And I will say that some of Bloom's comments, and he's done a couple of different interviews lately, have me a little worried. Like where he says, you know, I am one of those people who believes that if you just get in the playoffs, you can win it. Well, how many 86-win teams win the World Series? It can happen. But more often than not, it's not. I mean, the Braves did it last year. But I would tell you that same Braves team let Freddie Freeman go, and they're going to win over 100 games if they haven't already. So, like, let's not get ridiculous with that whole thing either. You need to be typically in the mid-90s to be championship threat. I want them to be a championship threat. That's what they should be. Again, so Alex Spears' comments, and we'll put more emphasis on these the next couple of nights, because there was a lot there in his appearance last night. He did say something about Xander Bogaerts. We'll play it for you coming back. We'll tell you exactly what he said. We'll give you Alex Spears' prediction for Xander Bogaerts and the Red Sox after Murray gets you caught up on headlines.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Now more baseball and more Mets.
Okay.
This is the Baseball Hour with Tony Mazz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
If you had to say so right now, is Xander Bogaerts coming back next year?
My guess is yes. I just think that he's, you know, he loves the organization deeply. There's such a strong sentiment.
Oh, there's a drive. Margot with a high, deep shot to left field and kiss that one goodbye. They hit their second home run.
Right before we kiss you goodbye.
I feel like timing has always been my forte up here, so might as well stick it out. We can go to Manuel Margot and his rise in the Red Sox farm system back through 2015. Right.
I think I've told you this before, Alex, that we actually have nothing to do with what happens down there. Absolutely nothing.
I've been accused to the contrary every once in a while.
We all have.
I've double-checked with some players.
Yeah. If you're up here long enough, you get accused of everything.
No question.
Tell me that's not the truth. We've all been accused of affecting the results on the field. Murray, how many times have people called us and said, yeah, the players don't want to play here because of you guys?
Doesn't matter the sport. It happens all the time.
Yeah, you guys, it's because of you guys we don't win. Hear it all the time. I'll tell you, so again, Alex Spears says his gut tells him Bogaerts is coming back. Just quickly to get it on the record. Bogaerts coming back or gone? Murray, what do you think?
Gone.
Stu?
He's coming back.
Okay, I'm not answering the question yet. I'm going to wait till Thursday.
Ooh.
Okay, so I'm gonna wait until Thursday. Are you mocking me, Jimmy?
I am. That's a good big market tease there.
Okay, but if you believe in sort of, what's the word I'm looking for, omens? If you believe in omens, listen to what happens when Spears starts to ask this answer the question last night. Go ahead, Jimmy.
If you had to say so right now, is Xander Bogaerts coming back next year?
My guess is yes. I just think that he's, you know, he loves the organization deeply. There's such a strong sentiment.
Oh, there's a drive.
Tell me that. Perfect. Tell me that is not perfect for the 2022 Red Sox. Alex Spears is in the process of saying, well, I think he comes back.
He loves the organization deeply. There's such a strong sentiment.
Oh, there's a drive.
Right? Manuel Margot, former Red Sox prospect, blasts one into left field. I think it went over the one of the baggy signs up there, the billboards. and out on the Lansdowne Street or whatever, and give the Rays a 3-0 lead. Just as Alex Spears giving the good news.
So is Eck groaning about the home run, or is Eck groaning because Alex didn't finish his answer?
No, he's such a strong sentiment.
Oh, there's a drive.
He's groaning about the home run. But I just thought it was so perfect. I'm like, oh, my gosh, isn't that perfect? Just as Spears is saying, I think Bogarts is coming back. Whack. Whack. Two-run job. They end up winning the game 4-3. Not that it matters. Hurts their draft position. Jimmy, what line is that, Jen, on?
Eight or ten? Line 9?
Line 9. I don't have anyone on line 9.
Okay, I'll punch her up then.
Okay, why don't you punch her up? Jen McCaffrey, The Athletic, joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. She's been kind enough to join us throughout the season at various points. Unfortunately, the Red Sox fell out of it so badly, we haven't had Jen on as much here in the second half of the season. But, Jen, I'll start with the same question for you that I'm going to ask everybody else. What does your gut tell you right now? Bogart's back or no?
Yeah, I think he's coming back. You know, I know that sounds like the optimistic thing that people are kind of leaning on right now, grasping for hope. I feel like a lot of people are these days, but like Alex Spear was saying there on the broadcast, Bogarts is such an emotional guy. He has been here his whole career. You can see how this line of questioning and just asking him on a daily basis is really wearing him down. And I don't know, it just feels like something's kind of coming to a head in terms of something, getting something done. You know, the organization has been really kind of pumping him up over the past, you know, few weeks, even more so than they already have. And it feels like they're, you know, trying to butter him up to, you know, convince him to come back. Obviously they gave him that, you know, offer in the beginning of the season that wasn't nearly worth, you know, what he's worth. And he was disappointed in that, but I feel like he has just felt the weight of, you know, what he's dealing with in the past few weeks here. And I have to imagine something's going to come to a head, you know, sometime in maybe late October.
Okay. So you think before he even has the chance to opt out, Jen, they'll get it taken care of?
I do. You know, I think that's probably, I think if it does go to free agency and he does opt out, then I think things get a little risky. I think if you want to lock him up, if you want to get something done and kind of get ahead of this, then you have to do it, you know, before those. It's a 5-day window after the end of the World Series that they have to opt out. I think you got to get something done if you want to kind of get ahead of this. And they're very, you know, a PR conscious organization, especially the past few years, and they realize how much, you know, this has been bearing down on them. So I think that all kind of factors into things as well.
Yeah, Jenna, if this gets to free agency, my personal feeling, he's gone. He's gone. If it gets that far, it's over. So they got to lock him up before it gets that far. The question is, what are they willing to do to make that happen? And forgive me for putting you on the spot like this, but are you over at the ballpark tonight?
I am, yeah.
Okay.
It's damp and drizzly and cold.
Yeah, so I know he didn't play last night. He didn't play on Sunday. He DH'd on Saturday. I'm assuming he is in the lineup tonight?
He is, yeah. He's out there at short, yeah, tonight.
Okay. And in terms of the rest of the Red Sox offseason, and I know you have a game coming up here shortly, so I'll let you go quickly. But in terms of the rest of the offseason, have you been able to get any sense as to what they are going to prioritize? And when I say what, I mean anything specific, starting pitching, relief pitching. I have to believe pitching is going to be at the top of the list, but have you been able to get any sense as to how serious or how aggressive they are going to be in any one area?
Yeah, and like you said, pitching. I think that's been a topic that's come up on multiple occasions, kind of on and off the record, of just, you know, what they need to be better at next year. And just, I think Heim has said himself, you know, publicly that, you know, he didn't give this team enough depth, enough strong arms to kind of sustain them through the year. And obviously the injuries played a big factor in that. But I really do think that, I think he's learned a lot in building these teams over the past few years, that he has worked on the periphery in a lot of these deals. Some of them worked out, like Waka and Hill to an extent, but a lot of them, you know, obviously haven't. And I think even particularly in the bullpen, he's kind of tried to find the diamonds in the rough. And I think he's realized that maybe he does need one kind of big guy there. So I wouldn't be surprised if things kind of shift a little bit this winter. They have a lot of the money kind of coming off the books. We've heard that, you know, all season. So I wouldn't be surprised if they still continue to do some of these smaller deals to try to find guys, you know, like a John Schreiber or someone like that to kind of come out of nowhere and help. But I wouldn't be surprised if they step a little bit more into finding some of these, you know, bigger name guys or guys that maybe people have at least heard of and maybe have a little bit more of a track record than, you know, a guy like Matt Strom who hadn't pitched in 2 years. And he obviously, you know, pitched 5 innings in 2 years and obviously had a good year. But you can't kind of bank on those guys having taking you kind of throughout the season. And I think he's really learned that, I think, over the past few years. And I wouldn't be surprised if, he leans more into kind of getting a few more bona fide stars, if you will, or maybe even just guys that have more of a healthy track record, a stronger track record than some of the guys that he's picked up recently.
Yeah, known commodities. Absolutely, Jen. So look, I don't need to tell you, I think you're going to be very busy this offseason. And just quickly, thank you for joining us throughout the course of the year. Very much appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Always appreciate coming on with you guys.
Okay, again, Jen McCaffrey, The Athletic, joining us via the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. We'll get back to a couple of your calls here as well. And we have more Alex Spears sound coming up for you in the next segment. But again, first, some of your phone calls. Dan is in Abington. Go ahead, Dan.
Hi, Tony. I'll be very brief. I just wanted to thank both you and Jim for this season of the show. I know that this wasn't a great Red Sox season, but just wanted you to know that for me personally, it meant a lot. My mom was passing from cancer in South Shore Hospital. I caught your show every night. It was kind of like my only reprieve. She did pass a couple of weeks ago. I haven't missed a show since. I just wanted you guys to know that what you guys do mean a lot to people. And just wanted to say thank you to both you and Jim.
Dan, so you sent me an email as well, didn't you?
I did, sir, yes.
Okay, listen, thank you very much. All right, best to your family, and I appreciate the email.
Yeah, thanks, Dan. Sorry for your loss.
I was actually going to read a part of that email on the air, but Dan took care of that. I didn't realize it was the same guy. And Murray, we hear this from time to time, right? During the pandemic, a lot of people called us up. It was people telling us it was, and I don't mean this show, I mean Felger and Mass.
Right, yeah.
That, you know, we can be a part of their routine and bring some normalcy. And
right. Like that it was like some semblance of normalcy, like that show.
Right, to hear us bitching.
Yeah.
Exactly, yeah, that's, everything felt normal when they heard us complaining and bitching, Murray. It's exactly right. Neil's in Warwick. Neil, go ahead.
Hey, Maz, first time, long time. I might sound like a broken record here, but I feel like the Red Sox need to make a splash, like 2003 offseason. Go trade like for Curt Schilling, but in this case, trade for a prominent starter. Work on the bullpen. Get a closer like we had Keith Foles. You know, get something. We need something. And my heart tells me I think they're going to sign Bogarts in the next offseason. I know it's obviously next year, but they'll sign Devers again. They really need to do something.
Okay, Neil, they need to sign Devers now. They need to sign him now. If they go into the season and lose Devers at the end of next year and get nothing, big mistake. Too valuable an asset. Given his age, you should be able to get a king's ransom for him, especially if someone's willing to pay him. Mookie Betts was even a little bit older, but they should have gotten more for Mookie. They whiffed on that deal. And if you have concerns about Bloom, that's what your biggest concern should be. That you want to say the farm system's coming along? It is, I guess, a little. Marcelo Mayer was the number 4 pick. They got that one because they sucked so bad in 2020. So, like, I have a hard time giving Bloom a lot of credit for taking the guy at number 4 that everybody thought might go number 1. Like, that is sort of just falling into a good player, which is fine. I mean, they certainly could have blown the pick, but that felt like an easy one. I'll give him credit for Whitlock. That was a good move. Tristan Casas was drafted by Dombrowski. And all the guys that they've gotten in some of these other deals haven't really panned out. So, the organizational building part of it that Bloom was supposed to excel at, I'm not sure he's excelled at. In fact, I don't think he has. So where does this go from here? I don't know. But there is a definite absence of buzz around the team. And the 2003 comparison for me doesn't entirely work for this reason. That team made it to Game 7 of the LCS. If you had told me after last season that the Red Sox would go out and get an ace and a closer, now we're talking. They didn't do that. Now, can you do it a year later and fill the gap? But I think that that's what this team needs. They need a front-end starter, and they need a back-end reliever. They need bookends to the pitching staff, and they need studs in those roles. If they come back with Chris Sale as the quote-unquote ace and a number two starter, I don't know if it's good enough. But if you go out and get an ace and now you're not relying on Sale, and you go out and get a closer that allows you to move Whitlock into the rotation, and there's Bayo, and you know now you have some real arms in the rotation, well, then maybe you can make some noise. And in this division, you're going to need good pitching. Because you got your ass kicked in the division this year. Bad. We'll wrap it up when we come back.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
This is the Baseball Hour with Tony Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
If the Red Sox engage Rafi Devers in negotiations and that doesn't go anywhere, do they explore trading him a la Mookie Betts? Hard to believe they would do that.
I can't believe you said that out loud.
Well, you know, these are all things that are floating around, and they know it, too. They're very well aware of the dialogue that's circulating around the team, and of the fact that there is this kind of inflection point of what they do with their long-term payroll. We're starting to see that they have the basis of, you're getting the young guys starting to come up, which kind of level that stuff off. When you get the Cassis and you get the Bayo, and a few years down the road, maybe you're adding like a Dan Rafaela and a Marcelo Meyer around them, then you start to have simpler off seasons. Right now, extremely complicated.
Again, there you go. Right now, extremely complicated. I agree. A lot of moving parts, a lot of work to do, and the moving parts means harder for Chaim Bloom to get it right. That's what the moving parts things means. Harder to get it right. Hard enough job to begin with. Dean's in Shrewsbury. Dean, go ahead.
One more vote for Whitlock in the starting pitching. Starting pitchers are just so much more valuable because the amount of time they have in the game. I know he's a dynamite reliever and we could use him there, but I think he's better in a starting pitching role.
Dean, let me stop you for 1 second. I'm sorry, I just put you on hold. Don't hang up. So I generally agree with you under the old format, which is to say that baseball starters were allowed to go 6 or 7 innings. Do you believe that's still true, that a starter is worth more than a reliever?
Yeah, because they're still pitching about double the innings in most cases. I mean, starters are still pitching like 140, 150. Whitlock was at 80 innings this year, 78. It was 73 last year. He only started 6 or 10 games this year.
Yeah.
Or 9 games.
So does it matter? Does it matter when those innings are?
No, it doesn't. I don't think it does. I think if he could just start the whole season, we'd be much better off.
Okay,
but, Maz, I'm upset with you. We're in last place because this first year on Nesson thing with you.
Dean, I appreciate it. Yeah, thank you for the call. Again, it's our fault. People think it's our fault up there. It really isn't. So hopefully they'll bring me back. We'll see. Haven't heard anything definitive yet. And, again, either way, it's okay. And I don't say that with any knowledge. But, you know, again, it's, you know, I have a job. I enjoyed it. We'll see what happens. I'll let you know if they tell me anything, or I'm sure someone will let you know. But also to Dean, thank you for calling. Look, I think they're going to put Whitlock in the rotation. Okay, that's what I think they want to. And I think that given what their needs are, it's a smarter thing to do just quickly. The one thing that bugs me sort of about the simple math is, well, 140 or 50 innings is more valuable than 70. I don't always believe that. So you're telling me Mariano Rivera didn't have more value than some scrub starter who was a number four starter? I mean, that's just, that you know, to me, that's wrong. Anyway, Adam Jones coming up next with Christian Arcand. I've already dipped into their time a little. Probably I'm trying to save you from the pain.
They have 5 hours. You're fine.
Okay, so again, Jones and Arcand. Murray will get you caught up on headlines. Jared Carabas with us tomorrow on the Baseball Hour, his final appearance of the year. We'll catch you.
Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.